Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world by living toxic free. And we need to do that because there's so many toxic chemicals in everything, in the tap water that comes out of our tap, in just walking down the street, being sprayed by pesticides, car exhaust, all over the place, in all kinds of consumer products. It is a toxic world. But there, we don't have to be affected by it. We can remove toxic chemicals from our homes, from our offices. We can choose things that don't have toxic chemicals in the foods that we eat, in the water we drink, in everything. We can live a toxic-free life. We can remove toxic chemicals from our bodies. And that's what this show is about, is how you can be toxic-free. Today is Thursday, February 27th, 2014, and I'm here in Clearwater, Florida. And today we're going to be talking about organic food and drink with somebody who really knows about organic food and drink. My guest is Max Goldberg, who blogs about organic food and drinks at Living Maxwell. He has been called an organic sensation by the New York Times and named as one of the nation's leading organic food experts by Shape Magazine. And he has a very interesting story. Hi, Max. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
So first of all, I want you to tell everybody your story about where you've come from and how far you've come and the things that you've changed in your life that led you to deciding that organic foods are so important.
Well, I after college, I went to work on Wall Street as an investment banker. Got my MBA and worked in technology and software for a while. And then in the late 90s and the beginning of 2000, in the early 2000s, I had some dramatic health changes. I quit drinking in 1999. I quit smoking cigarettes in 2000. And the biggest change was in 2001. I was on. I had been on Prozac, the antidepressant, for close to 11 years, and went off that antidepressant in 2001, nearly 11 years. And it was right around that time that I found organic food. And that was one of the reasons I went off of Prozac, was because I found organic food, and I realized that I had been putting food with all these chemicals into my body all this time, and I said, I don't want this in my body anymore. And so I got into organic food, and then I realized that it didn't make any sense. I was running around trying to find food that didn't have chemicals in it, yet I was popping a chemical each morning. So eventually I went off of Prozac in the summer of 2001 and have been eating close to 100% organic food since that time. So in summer of 2001, I find organic food. I go off the antidepressant. And going off the antidepressants was a very, very big very traumatic. It took me 3.5 years to recover. I was suicidal. And eventually, 3.5 years later, I turned the corner and was able to really start building my life again. And I've actually got a memoir, a book, about my time before, during, and after the Prozac, which will be out later this year, detailing all of that. And it was really, so in 2001, I pretty much started eating all organic food. And then maybe about 4 years ago, I started writing about the industry because I was always really interested in organic and passionate about it at that time in the early 2000s. But my mental state was such that, the thought of, starting a business was just a little bit overwhelming. I was just having trouble surviving.
I understand.
So in 2000, so about 4 years ago, I started writing about organic food, and that's where it is. And the blog's grown, and it's done well, and it's really allowed me to work in an industry that I love and really share the message about the importance of organic food.
Well, tell us, why is organic food so important to you? What's the basic message for you that you'd want people to know?
Well, first of all, there's several reasons. One, for your personal health. I mean, you're putting food that does not into your body that does not contain, toxic pesticides and chemicals. The genetically modified organisms are not allowed in organic. So not only and nutritionally, it's a superior food. Studies have come out that shows a higher level of antioxidants, higher level of omega-3s in organic. So you're putting a superior food into your body. And the other thing that I want to point out and really stress is that organic is also an environmental issue as well.
Yes, it
I don't
is.
Think people realize the extent of how chemicals are used in this country. There was a story in the New York Times how in Central Valley in California, the farming communities, they are the water is so polluted and so toxic from all these pesticides that are sprayed that they have to drink bottled water. They're not allowed to drink tap water.
Yeah. My grandparents actually lived in the Central Valley, and I used to go there a lot because I lived in California. And yes, that is the way it is. I mean, it's just when I was a child, you know, sometimes I think about my childhood, and it scares me the kinds of things that I used to be exposed to. And I used to live in the San Francisco Bay Area, and my grandparents lived in Fresno, which is just like in the middle of all that agriculture in the Central Valley. And we would be driving down Interstate 5, and at that time I think it was not, they hadn't built Interstate 5 yet, but we'd be driving down this freeway, and it was just agriculture on both sides. It was just fields, miles and miles and miles of fields. And as a child, one of the games we would play was, what is growing in that field? And it was actually really fun. And we say, oh, there's lettuce, there's cotton, there's blah, blah, blah. But, you know, the other part of it that was kind of charming was that these biplanes would fly over and spray clouds of pesticides right out of the plane, right on the freeway where we're driving right by. It was just like open pesticide spraying over the fields with the biplanes. And we would be just driving through it and thinking, oh, look, there's a biplane. And now I look back on there and I'm going, oh, my God, I'm driving down the freeway and I'm being sprayed by pesticides. And this was every time we would drive to my grandmother's, this would happen. And so if this is happening to me, you can imagine the people who are living in those communities.
No, I really can't. And I was told the other day that similarly when they spray out there, that a lot of these people, they can't leave their homes and things like that. And I was at, funny, interestingly enough, I was at a book party last night here in New York City, is where I live, for a guy who wrote, it's called Natural Profits, and it's about a guy who wrote a book about the organic food industry and really the rise and the entrepreneurs and the visionaries who made it happen, whether it's Gary Hirschberg at Stonyfield or John Mackey at Whole Foods. And what he said was there was a 60 Minutes report, I think it was in like 1989 or 87, in the late 80s, and they did a report on Alar, which was the chemical sprayed on apples. Do you remember that?
I remember that study, yeah, go ahead.
So they did the 60 Minutes story on that, and apparently that was one of the real tipping points where people, you know, they started throwing out their applesauce, and they stopped eating apples, and that was really a point in time when the organic movement was started to be taken much, much more seriously.
Yes. Well, there are many, many, many pesticides. I'm happy to have you tell us more about the toxic chemicals in agriculture that are not in organic foods.
I think the biggest thing that people should know about is one that's going on right now, which is the, in Washington, they're getting very close to approving by Dow Chemical, a genetically engineered corn and genetically engineered soy crop that are, both of them are resistant to 2,4-D. Now, what is 2,4-D? So just let me back up for people. Just so people understand why about the GE crops, basically these companies engineer these seeds or these crops in a laboratory to make them resistant to certain chemicals. So when they're this genetically engineered soy, when they're planting the soy, they make the soy resistant to a specific chemical. So the chemical can be sprayed on the soy crop, and it won't kill the crop, but it will kill everything around it, whether it's pests or, fungicides or whatever it may be, or weeds or whatever it may be. So it's killing everything around the crop, but not the crop itself.
I need to interrupt you because we need to go to the break, but we'll hear more about this when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Max Goldberg, who blogs about organic food and drink at livingmaxwell.com. And we'll be back after this. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Max Goldberg, who blogs about organic food and drink at livingmaxwell.com. Before the break, we were talking about GMOs, so continue with that, please.
Okay, so I gave just a basic explanation about how GMOs work, how it's basically they design these crops so it kills everything around the crops. And when they spray the chemicals on the crop, they kill everything around the crop, but they don't kill the crop itself. So Dow Chemical has come out with, is trying to get approval from the government, and it appears very likely it's going to happen within the next month or two, since they've already received sort of preliminary approval, that the genetically engineered soy and corn that is resistant to 2,4-D. So that's the chemical they're going to be spraying on this. Now, what is 2,4-D? 2,4-D was the primary ingredient in Agent Orange. That was the herbicide warfare program that killed hundreds of thousands, 400,000 people in Vietnam and left 500,000 people with birth defects. That was the primary agent in Agent, primary ingredient in Agent Orange. And this is what they're going to be spraying on our crops.
That's just insane. I mean, not only is it insane that they're spraying something that toxic on our crops, but it's insane to think that any kind of plant or animal or organism of any kind can grow in an environment where the point is to kill everything around it. There's just something wrong with that logic.
Well, I don't disagree with you at all. And it's you know, just people don't really know what is going on out there. And it's funny with the 2,4-D, the Vietnam Veterans Association has wrote a letter to President Obama asking him not to approve it, and, you know, of course, they're going to approve it. And it just shows the incredible power that the ag biotech industry has in this country. And what people need to know is that the same companies that make these seeds, that make these genetically engineered crops, are the same companies that sell them the chemicals. It's the same company. It's not two different companies.
Yeah.
It's the same company. So they work hand in hand, and according to the Food and Water Watch, the ag biotech industry, which is, you know, these chemical companies and these seed companies, spent $572 million on campaign contributions and lobbying from 1999 to 2010. And that is why we have food policy that allows for this. The U.S. is, there are 64 countries around the world that require GMOs to be labeled so you know what you're eating, but the U.S. does not. And why don't they have, why don't we have GMO labeling? It's because the ag biotech industry has purchased food policy in this country.
I'm just sitting here silently shaking my head. I don't know what to say to this because it's just so, you know, it's so unlogical. It's so my basic philosophy is that we should be considering as the very first thing, what supports life? What supports the environment? What supports our bodies? If we don't have an environment that is a healthy environment in which to grow food and produce all the things, all the materials that go into making the things that we need in order to survive as individuals, then we don't have those things to survive. We don't have food that gives us the nutrition that we need so that our bodies are healthy. And so we need to have a great environment that is thriving. And we need to have bodies that are thriving in order to be happy and healthy and productive. And this just, it just seems like that there's a whole structure that does not think that way. But then there's another whole emerging group of people, an ever-increasing group of people like you and I who are thinking quite differently than that.
Well, I think, people, more and more people are slowly waking up to this. I mean, and you just look at the growth of the organic food industry. I mean,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's growing for a reason because people realize that the food that they putting into their bodies needs to be of a certain quality, and it can't contain these toxic chemicals. It can't contain GMOs. And as much as you know, all these food companies would like us to believe that they're completely safe. Consumers don't believe it. You know,
it's not
the studies,
safe.
The studies they provide are totally biased, and the government is, you know, just listens to whatever these big corporations say because they're so beholden to the you know, the campaign contributions and the lobbying that. As a result, the health of consumers, you know, is compromised. There's a reason why the U.S. has 41%, and this is from the President's Cancer Panel report, 41% of Americans are going to get cancer, 21% of Americans are going to die from cancer, and there's a reason. And at the end of the day, what it really shows you is that every single person has to take complete responsibility for their health, because if you're going to rely on what the government is telling us is safe to eat, you know, you're going to end up as a statistic. I mean,
I completely agree. And, you know, the thing, when I was researching my last book that I wrote a few years ago, Toxic Free, I found a study where they had tested the urine of children who had eaten foods with pesticides. And then after a period of them eating organic food, they tested their urine again. And they found that within days, it only took a few days of eating organic food, that they no longer had the pesticide in their bodies. It was no longer coming out through the urine. And so that was just such a dramatic thing to me because, you know, there's pesticides are one of those things that are persistent. And so, like, there is probably some pesticides that are persistent in your body, but other pesticides aren't persistent. And things like BPA, if you stop, BPA is not a pesticide. It's not in your food. It's in packaging, so it could end up in your food, like if you eat canned foods. But BPA will go through your body in several days. It's not persistent. All you have to do is stop eating canned foods, and a lot of BPA will leave your body. And so it's just... It really is so easy to improve bodies in this way, to just say, I'm not going to eat pesticides in food. I'm going to eat organic food. It's there. It's available to almost everybody in America. Anybody can go and buy organic food in almost every city in America. And in a few days, you're not going to have so much pesticide in your body. That's just a fact. We need to go to break, so I'm not going to let you say anything after the break, as I don't want you to start. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Max Goldberg, and he blogs about organic food and drink at Living Maxwell. He's been called an organic sensation by the New York Times, and when we come back, we will find out what Max eats. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. My guest today is Max Goldberg, who blogs about organic food and drink at livingmaxwell.com. And Max, you have on your website 4 points that you that describe your eating habits. And I think that they're really good ones. So would you tell us what those are?
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that? I couldn't hear you.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you better now.
Okay. You have 4 points on your blog where you talk about insights into your eating habits. So tell us, what are those 4 points that guide what you choose to eat?
Okay. Well, I'm eating close to, I eat close to 100% organic.
And how do you do that? How do you do that?
Well, I live in New York City, so there's plenty of organic restaurants here. So that's, I mean, that's a huge help. I mean, and then, you know, I mean, but everyone can do that for breakfast. So, well, I'll get to my point so we can get to that after. So okay. I eat close to 100% organic. So when I go out to restaurants, I'm eating organic. And, when I travel, when I travel in the U.S., I figure out where I'm going to eat, and then I book my travel around that, like where I'm going to stay and things like that. So I think about food very differently. I think about where I'm going to eat way in advance. I don't just sort of, you know, go on a trip and then figure it out. I figure it out in advance before I even take my trip.
Yeah.
Traveling internationally is a slightly different story, but in the U.S., so... It's not 100%, but it's very, very close to 100%. So I also eat cooked in raw food. I probably do, I don't know, 1 to 2 raw food meals a day. I'm not a vegan or vegetarian. I do eat grass-fed red meat, and I do eat sardines. The other thing, I always travel with food, as I mentioned. When I fly, I'm always taking food with me to the airport and for plane and for food when I'm on the plane. I always think about, okay, when I get off the plane, where am I going to eat? So I already, in the back of my mind, know exactly where I'm going to be eating. I have it all organized. And if I'm staying with a friend, I know, you know, what kind, do they have a blender? Do they have a juicer? You know, where's the closest organic supermarket to where I'll be staying? So I really plan these things in advance.
That's so intelligent.
Sorry?
That's so intelligent.
Well, if you want to eat this way, and if you really want to be serious about eating organic, you have to. And, you know, friends of mine who eat similarly, it's the exact same thing with them. It's like, we plan, you know, a day or days in advance. It's funny because the big organic food trade show is next week in Anaheim, California, and I give a lot of thought as to where I'm going to stay based on where I can get my food.
Right.
So, I mean, this is just really, and I think that for people who are starting to embrace this lifestyle, these are the things that you need to do. And I mean, it's no different than anything else in life. It's, you know, saving for retirement or whatever it may be, is you need to plan. And it's no different from how you eat and on a daily basis. And the last thing is, you know, I drink as much organic green juice as possible. Green juice is, chlorophyll, it's got magnesium, and I actually started because, I'm such a big pressed organic juice fan. I started something called PressedJuiceDirectory.com, which is the world's first pressed organic juice directory. So when you travel, you know where you can get pressed organic juice wherever you are.
That's so good to have that kind of information from city to city. So, so I'm assuming that you also carry snacks around with you when you're going around during the day. So if you're out and you are hungry or it's time for you to eat, then you have something to eat. You don't have to find organic food someplace. Is that right?
I would say that's more when I'm traveling, just because in New York, there's just such easy access for it.
Yeah. And where I live, there is not easy access to organic food. So, give us an idea of, like, what did you eat for breakfast this morning? Like, on a typical day, what do you eat?
I'll either do something like a nut milk smoothie where I'll, you know, soak, I'll either use Brazil nuts or I'll soak hemp seeds overnight. And then I will make nut milk out of those. I have a video on my website on how to make nut milk. Basically, you put, say, hemp seeds and water into a blender, you blend it, and you strain it, and you get hemp seed milk.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put that into the blender with bananas or raw cacao powder and maca, things like that, and you can create a superfood smoothie for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll do things like a chia seed pudding. Or I'll do, sometimes I'll have, what else will I do? I'll do a raw oatmeal. So those are typical breakfasts.
Uh-huh. And then what do you have for lunch?
Lunch, I'll either do a salad and soup, or I'll do beans, I'll do lentils, quinoa. And, you know, dinner is pretty similar, too. I do the same thing, or I've actually found this really good brand of pasta called Tolerance, which is certified organic, non-GMO, pasta made from nothing more than organic red lentils.
Oh, I've never heard of that one.
Yeah, no, it's an amazing product. They did a big giveaway on my website, and people just flip out over it. I found them at the big organic food trade show last year, and it's an amazing product. So all it is pasta made from, you know, certified organic red lentils, and they have one for black beans as well, so certified organic black bean pasta. So I'll do that, and then those are, you know, and I'll juice every single day pretty much without fail.
Well, it sounds like you have a very healthy diet. And I can see, but I can see that, you know, a lot of things like, you know, the seeds and the lentils and things like that, that those are kind of staple products that you, that anybody could get. I mean, you can even order them online and you can fill your pantry with those kinds of things. And then a lot of that is organic. I know for me, it's hard for me to get, organic produce here where I live, that we have my, like my nearest Whole Foods is about an hour's drive from me and pretty expensive. But I have a small local natural food store. But they don't always have a lot of variety. And so if I were to eat 100% organic, it would be more limited than I'd like it to be. And so I think that, that I, like a lot of people that don't have the access that you have, that there's always that question between, well, am I just going to eat organic and have it be very limited and maybe have it cost more? Or am I going to not eat organic and have more variety and be more in my budget? So what would you say to somebody like that?
What I would do is, if I didn't have access to this, I would really load up on things like these organic green powders. So you get the, you know, you're getting the, you know, the benefits of the green, you know, juices in powder form. Mm-hmm. And that's something I always travel with.
Good. So, we need to go to break. We'll be right back. And you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. My guest today is Max Goldberg, and he blogs about organic food and drink at livingmaxwell.com. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. My guest today is Max Goldberg, who blogs about organic food and drink at livingmaxwell.com. And do check out his blog. I actually subscribe to his newsletter, which you can do so just right at the upper right-hand corner of the right-hand column on his blog. And he writes a lot of different things. Some of his blog posts are very simple things that anybody can do who are just getting started out. Like the top post right now is 5 essential ways to avoid genetically modified food. But he also writes about what are the toxic problems. Like, again, talking about GMOs, he wrote a post called Consuming Genetically Modified Soy is a Very, Very Risky Proposition. So you can get information on the dangers of non-organic food and information on what's there out in the world that's organic, whether it's food or drink or even cleaning products made from organic, personal care products made from organic. It's all there at livingmaxwell.com. And you've done a great job putting this together. I'm very happy to recommend it on the show. So you have, Max, a post here that you said, the must-share video, the organic industry rolls out its first advertising campaign, and you said that this is so important that it should be shared. So why don't you tell us about that?
It's something that's been in the works for a long time. There's a perception out there with a lot of people that natural is better than organic, and nothing could be further from the truth. So what this video is a satire about how companies greenwash all their products. They slap the word natural on everything, and so it basically makes fun of a, you know, an executive who advises these companies about a natural. Mm-hmm. And what happens, you know, what are the standards for natural? There are none.
There are none. I mean, yes, I've been saying that for 30 years.
And if
yes, there are none.
No, there literally are none, and it's not like there's some and they're not enforced. It's if you go to the USDA's website, it says there are no standards for the labeling of natural fruit food products if they do not contain meat or eggs. So they can put absolutely anything in there and just call it natural.
And wait, let's just also point out that there's a whole industry called the natural foods industry and the natural cosmetics industry, and there's no regulations for what that word means.
I mean, it's a joke. So what's happened lately is, in the last few years, the lawyers have gotten involved and said, this is ridiculous, and they've sued a lot of these companies for using the word natural on products that contain, you know, that contain GMOs and synthetic substances. And the most notable of them all, it's been by far the most viewed story on my website since I started a few years ago, has been about Naked Juice. Naked Juice just settled a $9 million class action lawsuit for Naked Juice was sued for using the word natural and non-GMO when they were using when the lawsuit said that they were using substances that weren't natural and substances that were genetically modified. So that's what the lawsuit said, and they just got sued and they settled.
Wow.
It's funny.
That's like blatantly fraud. I mean, I think that there's an assumption about the word natural. When I started writing about natural products all those years ago, natural meant that this was like before organic became popular. One would refer to a natural product as one that didn't have additives in it. Like it didn't have artificial colors or flavors or preservatives. That was a natural product, but there's no regulations about it. But that was the general practice of what it meant. And we weren't even talking about organic because it was never on the label of anything. I think there's an assumption, a cultural assumption, that that's what natural means. And so for a company to market themselves to the natural product market and be sold in a natural food store, there's that word again, and then have GMOs in it and have substances in it that are known to not be natural, that's fraudulent to me.
Well, they still claim that with Naked Juice that there were no GMOs, and the only thing that they agreed to, aside from paying the fine, was that, well, they agreed to take the words all natural off. But, yes, it's crazy that they're using the word natural when companies in general, when it contains genetically engineered ingredients, because those are not natural. Those are not
those
found
are not
in nature.
Natural.
Well, it's not found in nature, and they're saying, well, we grow it in nature. That's there. It's growing, so it has to be. It's growing in nature, even though it's, you know, engineered in a laboratory. But
yeah, that's people saying it's organic because it's made out of organic chemicals. You know,
exactly. It's insane. That's why consumers just really need to understand. That's why I said must share, because consumers, too many people, they think natural is better than organic, and organic has very clear standards, regulation, enforcement. If you label, if a food manufacturer labels their products as organic, and they aren't organic, and they have not received the USDA official certification yet, they're labeling it as organic, they go to jail.
Yes. Well, I think this is something that people, I did a whole show about this, but I'm going to say it again here, because we're talking about organic, that they're actually... I found out that the whole organic certification program is so well regulated, and it goes through so many layers of checks and balances, and that the certification means particular things, and there are people who are going out and checking, and I've talked to people who have organic certifications, and they tell me how stringent it is, that really, if you want to get some of the most toxic-free products of any kind on the planet, what you should be looking for is certified organic products, because they actually are. There's a structure. It means something. And it's being regulated, not only regulated, but certified by certifiers who go out and check exactly what you're doing, even down to the point of that they look at how much you're producing, like say how much tomatoes you're producing, and they're looking at the materials that you, the soil additives and things like that that they're putting in, and they're checking the amounts to make sure that what you bought, and you have to produce your receipts. It's like what you bought is, does that make sense about what it is that you've produced? And that's how stringent it is. And so people, you really need to understand that this organic really is the primo number one certification for the most pure product you're going to be able to buy.
Yeah, I mean, organic, it's not perfect, there's a lot of room for improvement, but it is absolutely the best we have.
It is the best we have right now. And if every product on the planet were to be aligned with and certified according to the organic system, we would have such a less toxic place. No doubt about it. I agree. So we only have a few minutes left. And I want to just ask you, is there something else that you'd like to say that we haven't talked about yet?
I think the biggest thing is for people just to really get involved and really start asking questions. Because if we want the food system to change, it's going to require everyone being involved, because the major food corporations have a tremendous amount of money and power. And through the money, they're able to really dictate food policy. But so if we want change, it's going to require people to be involved and have their voices heard. Because if we all get together and demand something different, we can get this. And that means voting politicians out of office if they're not going to, support food policy that's really beneficial to their constituencies. So that's the biggest thing is we just need people involved.
I totally agree with you. Well, thank you so much for having been on the show today. And I'm just looking through your website, and I'll just tell people some other things that they can find here. Like, I'm looking at organic Valentine's Day gift ideas. So if you want to know what's organic to give your Valentine, this is the kind of place to find it. And, I've been to New York. I don't live there, but I've been to New York, and I know that you have so many organic resources there. I live in Clearwater, Florida, where we have practically none. And I'm just sitting here thinking, oh, gee, I had to really push to have there be an organic restaurant. I just need to make that happen, because I think that a lot of people would benefit from it and they'd really like it. And we just, when people get together and they decide that this is what they want, then you can, in a place, make things happen. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and thank you, Max, for being with me today. And you can go to toxicfreetalkradio.com to find out more about this show. We'll be back tomorrow.